Let us pray. Oh, Father, thank you for this privilege that we can relate to you as Father, not just God, because of your Son Jesus imparted his sonship over us so that we can call you Father. We just want to thank you for our own life and you know, everything that you have given us. And today is the day that we set apart 1 out of 7 days to remember you as the possessor and the owner and author of our life. As we lift up your name through worship and as we pay attention to what you have to say from your word, bless us today so that with this blessing we can go out to bless the nations. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To be or not to be, that is the question. It's perhaps one of the most quoted phrase in English word. This quote is, of course, from Shakespeare's play Hamlet. Hamlet faced a dilemma of life. He was not satisfied with life and listed many torments of life itself. But he was not sure if death is any better as he was contemplating what death may bring. He thought death may not be just a sleep, but it is perhaps an experience even worse than life. And we face another dilemma of life. This dilemma is called give or take. To give or take, that is the question. When it comes to offering, we struggle between the spirit of generosity and the spirit of stinginess, even greed. What makes us to be generous and what makes us to be stingy or greedy? We are going to find answers to these questions from the life of Abraham. Would you please turn with me to Genesis chapter 14? We are going to read from verses 14 through 24. Genesis 14, 14 through 24. Here's the word of God. And when Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he led out his trained men, born in his house, 318, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. And he divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them, and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought back his relative Lot with his possessions, and also the woman and the people. And then after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, that is, King's Valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him a tenth of all. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give the people to me and take the goods for yourself." And Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have sworn to the Lord, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich. And I'll take nothing except what the young man has have eaten and the share of the man who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their share. It is usually true that Satan tempts us immediately after a great spiritual victory. Jesus was tempted right after his baptism, where he experienced descension of Holy Spirit upon him. And Elijah fled in fear after his victory at Mount Carmel. Do you still remember the excitement of homecoming of Dallas Cowboys when they won the Super Bowl title long ago? Maybe you have forgotten that, you know, that, you know, when I moved to Texas, I experienced that not long after that. And they brought the honor to the city. And imagine Abraham. He is coming to town after a marvelous victory. But another battle was about to break. And this time the battle was about the spiritual battle over possession. When Abraham returned from the battle, he was met by two kings. King of Sodom, and Sodom means burning, and Melchizedek, king of Salem. Salem means peace. The king of Sodom offered Abraham all the spoils in return for his people, while Melchizedek gave Abraham bread and wine. Abraham rejected the king Sodom's offer, but accepted bread and wine from Melchizedek and gave him a tithe of all the spoils. And all of this is symbolic and represents some most important spiritual truths that we should understand and apply today. Abraham had to choose between two kings who represented two opposite ways of life. Sodom was a wicked city, and king of Sodom represented the dominion of this world system with its appeal to the flesh. And he tried to bargain. On the other hand, Melchizedek means king of righteousness, and Salem means peace. And Hebrews 7 and Psalm 110 connect Melchizedek with Jesus Christ, the king of peace and king of righteousness. And Melchizedek is introduced as who has no beginning and no end. He's an eternal priest. And Jesus follows the order of Melchizedek according to Hebrews 7. And Melchizedek was a priest of El Elyon, God Most High. I know you probably know this worship song. I think we sang a couple weeks ago, El Shaddai. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyona Adonai. I don't know if you remember that. El Elyona, that's El Elyon. So God Most High. El Shaddai definitely is God of Abraham, but El Elyon or El Elyona is another God that the Abraham experienced for the first time. And this is the first time God Most High, another name of Yahweh, El Elyon or El Elyona, was introduced for the first time in the entire Bible and to Abraham. So we have a strange flow of the story. It was the king of Sodom who appeared first to meet Abram, but all of a sudden, Melchizedek appeared out of nowhere, and in verses 19 through 20, he was blessing Abraham. And before Abraham faced the wicked king of Sodom, the blessings of Melchizedek helped Abraham perceive the truth and the revelation. And it was divine intervention to protect Abraham and to shape Abraham's faith. Look at the verses 19 through 20. And here Melchizedek reminded Abraham of who God is in this blessing. Melchizedek said, Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands. So here, Abram was informed of the truth about God, which he may have not known before. If you remember, this is still chapter 14, still early journey of Abram's faith. He has not fully experienced who God is. And there are two things Melchizedek is revealing about God. The first of all, God is the possessor of heaven and earth. You know, it means God is the creator of universe. This is similar to Elohim. In the Genesis chapter 1, God is introduced as Elohim, the creator of heavens and earth. And El Elyon, that Melchizedek introduced, has this meaning. He is the possessor of heaven and earth. He is the beginning of all life, including Abraham. And blessed be Abraham of God Most High. This means Abraham is sourced from God. This may be a new revelation to him. God appeared to him and God blessed him in chapter 12. But that's all Abraham knows about God. But here, God is the possessor of heaven and earth. He is the creator of all things, including Abraham. So verse 19 is telling us that Abraham is from God, the creator of universe, and the God is the possessor of heaven and earth. He also possessed Abraham. Perhaps this was another defining moment for Abraham. He is not his own. He belonged to God. El Elyon, God Most High. And second thing about God, Melchizedek revealed is that the source of the victory Abraham just won. You know, Abraham just won the battle, and yet it was God who delivered Abraham's enemy into Abraham's hands. We know a famous Proverb 21:31, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. Abraham may have brought, may have thought he won the battle because of his courage and the strategy and the people, 318 people he trained. But it was primarily God who gave him the victory. That was the reminder of Melchizedek to Abraham. So Melchizedek's blessing revealed that God is the source of Abraham and the whole universe, and God enabled Abraham to win the battle. So I think today we have two principles about who God is. And the first one, God is the giver of your life and all your blessings. You know, this is a very important and very simple truth about who God is. Without God, we don't have life. Without God, we don't have any blessings. God is the giver of your life and all your blessings. If we believe and trust God as such, you know, that is called God's grace. We begin to understand who God is. God is the giver of all. That's God's grace. We brought nothing to this world, and everything that we see is actually from God. Why do you think God sent Melchizedek to Abraham? Melchizedek appeared to Abraham to actually help Abraham overcome the temptation that was just around the corner when he faced the king of Sodom. After the wonderful victory, Abraham may have been emotionally high, but spiritually very vulnerable. And Melchizedek appeared. Melchizedek is strengthening Abraham for the victory. Knowledge is power, and revelation is inspiration. And Abraham needed both power and inspiration from God. Melchizedek provided Abraham with new knowledge about who God is. And this new knowledge was God's revelation that inspired Abraham, which is simply, God is source of all things. And he's the provider, even the victory he just won. Do you believe that God is indeed the creator and author of your own life and possessor of you? If you miss this, you miss your life. So the mission of Melchizedek was to give Abraham the truthful information about God and who Abraham really is in light of God, the creator and the giver of all. And Abraham's trust in God got boosted when Melchizedek released this truthful information in his blessing of Abraham and God. So I think we need to pay attention to what the Abraham's response was when he was told about the true God. You know, Abraham responded promptly to give the tenth of what he has taken as spoil from the war. You know, imagine that this is before Moses prescribed Israelites the tithing. No one told him about tithing at all. This is first time in the Bible that talks about tithing. And imagine that this spoil is all the good of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible said the northern king, today is Iraq and Iran area, they came down and they took all the good things from Sodom and Gomorrah. And not only those possessions, but also people, the woman and the people, including Lot, were taken captive to the northern kings. Now, Abraham took it all back. If we were to estimate how much the spoil would be in today's standard, I believe it is an astronomical figure. Because we know that the wealth of Sodom and Gomorrah, the northern kings took from them, is enormous, because Sodom and Gomorrah was at the center of prosperity in Abraham's time. And they took all the good things from these two cities with the people. But Abraham showed no sign of hesitation at all in giving a tithe. What is the significance of Abraham's giving the 10% from the spoil? He acknowledged that God owns everything and that he is grateful for what God has done for him. And he has become a grateful steward of God's wealth. He realized that all things, including his life, belong to God. This is a very different understanding prior to this encounter with God Most High. The true understanding of who God is as a source of all life will make us generous in offering. If you truly know that God is source of your life, you'll not be stingy in giving your offering to God. If you believe that everything that you earn is yours, then carving out 10% from what you think is yours would be very hard. But if you believe everything is indeed God's, then you would gladly keep 90% of God's and give 10% to God, even more beyond 10%. That would be easier, depending on how you perceive your possession. It all depends on our perspective of God and who is the real owner of our possession and life. And Abraham trusted God, and he was able to offer the best of what he got. Actually, this tenth, 10% is actually, if you read Hebrews, was the choice, the choicest, the booty out of all things that he earned. So second truth about today's passage is generous giving is the evidence of your trust in God as a source of your life and all blessings. Generous giving is the evidence of your trust in God as a source of your life and all blessings. Now, let us move to the next scene. The king of Sodom's offer is tricky. Look at verse 21. And King Sodom said to Abraham, "Give the people to me and take the goods for yourself." He sounded as if he was giving a generous offer to Abraham. He sounded as if he owned the spoil. Actually, there is nothing that the king of Sodom earned, and he acted as if he owned everything. He's engaging a psychological warfare with Abraham. There must be a subtle scheme with King of Sodom. What is it? We can find from Abraham's response. Look at verse 22 and 23. "I have sworn to the Lord, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or sandal, thong, or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich." So what Abraham is discerning here is that the king's motive might be dangerous to the reputation of God. Abraham wanted this man to have no occasion to claim the responsibility for God's blessing upon him. By the way, there was no legal obligation for Abraham to return all the spoil, including the people, back to Sodom. It was actually the custom of the culture that whoever wins the battle takes all. We are talking about nations rise against nations, kings against kings. So Abraham, as a powerful man in the region, he represented the leader of the region, and he won the battle, king against kings. So all spoil and the people he has taken back were rightfully and legally the possession of Abraham. And yet, Abraham is releasing all this booty to the King Solomon, that king of Sodom, because he didn't want God's reputation marred. He doesn't want people saying Abraham got rich because the king of Sodom gave his possession to him. It is very interesting to note the last verse 24. "I will take nothing except what the young man had eaten and the share of the man who went with him, with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their share." So Abraham gave the right to share with the people who fought with him because they have the legal right to do so. And yet he forsook himself exercising the legal right for this spoil, and the people, he got it back because God's reputation was at stake. Abraham did not get confused with worldly benefits with divine blessing. In a sense, the tension that Abraham faced was faced with the king of Solomon, king of Sodom, was far more critical than the battle he just won, because the reputation of the Lord was at stake. The king of Sodom tried to rob God of the credit to make Abraham rich. But Abraham was not interested in getting rich in the worldly way, which is basically by taking as much as you can from all opportunities. That's the way of getting rich in the worldly ways, taking as much as you can from all the opportunities that we see. But Abraham refused to be rich that way. You know, to be rich is nothing wrong in itself, but how to be rich is the thing that this text is telling us the lesson. He could have been an instant billionaire right there if he were to take this spoil and the people. However, he chose a different decision. His priority was to honor God and keep God's name as the source of his blessing. Because he embraced God, the possessor of the universe and earth, heaven and earth, and he belonged to him, and all the things he see, his possession, are from God, not from someone else. He didn't want to take from people, but he rather give what belongs to God with a generous heart and joy. You know, Abraham had faith in God at this moment, who is fully able to give him victory over the world. Not just the battle, but victory over the worldly system. He was willing to give up the worldly benefit he could have taken legally and rightfully, but he chose not to do that. He gave away his enormous fortune. He was still waiting for divine blessing, which was yet to come. So Abraham refused the riches of the world, but shared his wealth with the Lord, and God richly blessed him in the end. So let's try to recap. The story deals with our temptation, with the reputation of God, and material possession. The key sin is the appearance of Melchizedek to Abraham. The purpose of his appearance to Abraham was to impart with Abraham the truthful knowledge about who God is. To Abraham, God was the source of his victory and the source of all life. You know, to us, God is the source of all things that include our life itself, our success, our family, our church, our nation, and all things. God is the giver of all. You know, we don't own anything. If you come to think about that, you know, we are only entrusted with the things of this world, including our life and possession. We are the steward. We're not the owner. And Abraham's first response after coming to the true knowledge was to give God his best, the offering. If you understand God is the giver of your life and blessings, then your offering to God would be generous and voluntary out of joy. And Abraham's second response was to refuse to take king's offer. He chose to keep God's reputation intact by giving up the worldly benefits. He was willing to do that. You know, at the end of his life, you know that Abraham's way got paid off eventually. God indeed blessed Abraham in his way. If you remember, even if he made a mistake, he was a deceptive person. He went to Egypt and Philistine 2 times, and he tried to hide the identity of Sarah. But when he came out of those 2 lands, you know what happened? God blessed Abraham with the possession from the land. That's how he became rich. You know, even in spite of all his sins, and yet God's grace was even more. That's how he got blessed by the Lord. He realized he didn't get rich by taking from others or taking what belongs to God. But he waited until God blessed him. That's God's way of making you rich, true rich. And he became a prominent figure in the region and became a very powerful man with respect and riches at the end of his day. And there was no sign that Lot, his nephew, gave God his offering at all. Lot instead jumped on every opportunity he can take and take as much as he can from the people and the world. And he became rich, just as Abraham became rich, but in different ways. He became rich by taking. But at the end of the day, he lost all. You know, that's the symbolism here from the Bible. You can be very rich by the way of the world, by taking as much as you can from every opportunity you can think of. But at the end of the day, when you, you know, leave the earth, you don't take anything with you. Actually, that's what happened to Lot. Lot's case was more dramatic because the whole city was destroyed by God. But that's not much different when we take this earth. We're not going to take anything with us. We have to leave everything behind. So if we live like Lot, try to be rich by taking in the worldly ways, we're going to lose all. That's not the way God wants us to live that way. God wants us to live this way. God bless us, and then we bless the people and Him by generous offering. That's the way how God bless. God wants us to be the channels of blessing, not the accumulator of the wealth into our hands. We're going to lose all anyhow. So give or take, that is the question. And Lot chose to take and lost all. And Abraham chose to give and he got all. You know, generosity is a decision to give, trusting that God is the giver of all. We cannot outgive God. God always gives more than we give away. You know, God allows us to take 90%, and only 10% of His, He allows us to give Him back. And greed is a decision to take, thinking that we are the provider of our own life. That's why we are taking. We want to save as much as we can in the fear that, oh, what if tomorrow will not provide? Because we are thinking that we are the winner, we are the owner, or we are the, you know, we are responsible for providing ourselves, but God is. So generosity is a worship, and greed is worldliness. Actually, it's idol worship. And generosity is freedom, and greed is slavery. And generosity is of the spirit, and greed is of the flesh. Are you driven by generosity or greed? Are you driven by trust in God or trust in you? Are you giving or taking? Give or take, that is the question. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the revealing the basic truth about what this life is about and how we came to be and who owns our own life and all the possessions. This simple revelation from you, from the life of Abraham, is also relevant to each one of us in how we deal with possession and material handling. Father, we confess that we are a mere steward of all the things that you have entrusted to us, so that we'll be a good steward of all things. We confess that we own nothing, even our breath that is in our lungs. You have given us. And Father, with this, the truth, please help us with your Holy Spirit today to set us free from the worldly ways and the greed and competitive heart and lack of trust. Set us free from all that and give us freedom and impart your Holy Spirit upon us so that we would be a willing and voluntary and joyful giver that which belongs to you, back to you. Give us wisdom to live this world and reshape the landscape of our mind and heart when it comes to the material things and possession. Father, just want to thank you that your son Jesus showed all how he lived and how he honored you from his own life. We thank you for life of Abraham. At the very early stage of his journey of faith, he realized that there is God Most High, El Elyon, who is the possessor of his own life and the all things that he sees. And the Spirit of Holy Spirit that imparted life to Abraham be upon us as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead. We are one with him again. Come away.
Just biological life that he was resurrected from the death, but whatever the death of our mind that has been us, Father, let us be resurrected from that grave to be able to see the truth and the revelation from above. We thank you that your word is forever the light for us, and it always enlightens us and illuminates our heart so that we would be able to follow the path of your word. Let us cherish your word and your spirit and follow what we have learned from those revelations from you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our God who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us